From France to Venezuela, from the U.S.-Mexico border to Hong Kong, we've been hearing a lot about tear gas lately. That's tear gas being fired at a recent protest in Hong Kong. Here's the thing. Tear gas was ruled illegal in wartime a long time ago. So why is it okay to fire it at civilians? Jamil Dakwar is the director of the ACLU Human Rights Project. I asked him, first of all, how tear gas works.
Well, the tear gas is really a chemical weapon. It is a material that has been developed very early on in the First World War and caused the deaths of thousands of people. Then it was developed into a more modern tear gas. It causes a serious burning and feeling of suffocation and, you know, obviously tearing. It's used now more massively than ever by law enforcement.
Are there different classes of tear gas? I mean, is there tear gas today that's being used on civilians that is not lethal?
Well, it is considered a less lethal weapon when it's used in outdoor in general. It could be lethal. In fact, there are incidents where people were killed by these canisters. The problem with the tear gas, it's also an indiscriminate weapon. If you think about the way that it's being deployed, it doesn't really distinguish between, you know, young people and elderly, the healthy and the sick, people who are peaceful protesters or those who are using violence. But the idea is that, you know, this has become the first trigger, the first thing that law enforcement would use as if it is going to be the way to de-escalate and to end the protest. Most of the time it's really used to suppress protests. And that's really one of the fundamental problems with that.
Jamil, why do you at the ACLU see tear gas as a problem?
Well, we've seen over the years, and the ACLU has been monitoring the use of tear gas by law enforcement for decades. We have unfortunately seen not only the use of tear gas by law enforcement, but also by border patrol agents against migrants. It was used against families and children who were asylum seekers. And children in particular are more vulnerable to tear gas because tear gas is heavier than the air, so it really stays on the ground. And their lung is smaller, obviously, so they usually are the first casualties of such weapons. So we have been very concerned about the deployment of tear gas, and we hope that those images that we see around the world from Puerto Rico to Hong Kong and in the United States, we hope that this will lead to an international action.
Right. Well, the Geneva Convention bans the use of tear gas for war. Why is it not mandated for civilians?
Well, it really goes back to the Chemical Weapons Convention. And the time when it was negotiated in the 90s, there was a lot of pressure to ban the chemical weapons and their use in law enforcement. But that obviously got a pushback from many countries and said, well, we can't really give up this weapon because if we don't use tear gas, we will have to resort to more lethal weapons. The compromise that was reached was to kind of leave that option open for using the tear gas or the riot control agents in law enforcement and only in law enforcement.
What happens, though, when protests get violent? And, you know, some have argued that in violent protests, it's necessary in those cases to use tear gas. What are your thoughts on that?
One thing is that, in particularly when it comes to tear gas, it's we're not suggesting that it should never be deployed. The question is, when do you deploy that? When do you resort to that? And there has to be layers and layers of de-escalation steps and actions taken by law enforcement before you reach to that. And perhaps in the future, we'll have a federal government that will really do the right thing by changing the rules, amending the laws, and bringing this area under control.
Jamil Dakwar, head of the ACLU's Human Rights Program, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you so much.